الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the very interesting features that's shared by every single person in this room is that each of us were dependent upon another being in order to develop into what we've become. One of the interesting features concerning each of us in this room is that we were dependent upon another being in order for us to become who we are. In particular, I'm referring to the fact that every single one of us was once in the womb of our mothers. Now, when we were in the womb of our mothers, we went through a series of embryologic events until we eventually became dependent upon the nutrients and the habitat provided by our mothers. No fetus can survive except that it receives essential nourishment from their mother. That is the nature of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. If you think about it, it's amazing. Because essentially, all of us in this room were parasites. Every single person in this room was a parasite that was essentially sucking nutrients from their mother for months on end in order to develop into a human being. Now, you'll see that what's very interesting, and I happen to have been, because of my profession, you know, particularly in the training of my profession, I happen to have been involved in many births. Now, I'm not, you know, an obstetrician who regularly delivers children, but I can tell you that, you know, as a father who's involved in the birth of our children, it's a very different event. You know, you're emotionally involved and it's not a medical procedure. It's the birth of a child and you're focused on the child. But when you look at it from the perspective of a physician or from any person who routinely is involved in the birth of children, what you see is that as soon as the baby's born, you're not done. See, what I mean is, look, when a baby's born, everybody who's involved with the baby rejoices. So the mother gets to hold a baby and see the baby for the first time. The father gets to appreciate the baby for the first time. Whoever else is in the room is appreciating the baby for the first time. But interestingly, the physician is not done. The physician, the nurse, the people involved in the delivery, they're not done. Because after they deliver the baby, the next step is they have to deliver the placenta. Now, what is the placenta? The placenta is this piece of tissue that is derived embryologically, which allows for the baby to be able to take nutrients from the mother. So that the baby is absolutely dependent on the mother all the way until the time of birth. Now, what happens at birth is that the baby comes out, and once the baby comes out, the baby is able to oxygenate, take a breath, etc. Many, many rapid physiologic changes occur that allow that baby to be able to sustain itself without the direct nutrient from their mother. And that doesn't mean that the baby can sustain themselves. They put the baby in a corner, the baby can't even feed itself. But it just means that the baby is able to survive outside of the womb of the mother. Now, of course, as I mentioned, the baby is delivered. After the baby is delivered, the placenta is delivered. And, you know, you'll see one of the very early phases of the delivery of the baby is that they'll cut the cord. Now, you know that there's a little umbilical cord which connects the baby to the placenta, which allows for all these nutrients to be obtained. So the baby's born, they cut the cord, they take the cord, they eventually deliver the placenta. Now, why am I going through all this, biology? Is because one of the things that we have to always remember, and subhanAllah, that our deen teaches us, is that we were essentially parasites in the wombs of our mothers, and we took nutrition and nutrients from them, and we would never, ever have been able to survive except in that state. That is our biology, that is our biologic reality. Now, an interesting thing happens when you cut that cord. You know, the cord that I talked about that connects the baby to the placenta, and the placenta is essentially taking the nutrients from the mother. An interesting thing happens when you cut that cord, that physical dependency disappears. Not completely, because the baby's always dependent on the mother, dependent on the feeding of the mother, dependent on the love of the mother, dependent on the dua of the mother. So the baby's always dependent on the mother. And eventually, no matter how big a baby becomes, and no matter how much of an adult a child eventually develops into, they are still dependent on their mothers. But our deen teaches us that we have two layers of dependency. We have a physical dependency on our mothers, and we have a spiritual dependency on our mothers. And yes, when a baby is born, there is a cutting of the cord which decreases the physical dependency that we have on our mothers. But the spiritual dependency is everlasting. We are absolutely dependent on our mothers spiritually all the way until we get to the grave. There is a spiritual nourishment that we take from our mothers that can never, never be, we can never be free of it. And just as we were dependent physically in the womb, we are even more dependent spiritually on that connection with our mothers and the blessings that we're able to attain therein. And you'll see that our deen teaches us this. Our deen teaches us that, look, you may become an adult one day. You may exhibit the greatest degree of physical independence from one's mother. I'm no longer dependent on even the feedings of a mother. But Allah has still put me in a spiritual dependency because I am dependent on the dua of my mother, and Jannah is under the feet of my mother. There is no escape for any person spiritually from this circumstance. And this is something that, unfortunately, we completely lose sight of. We completely lose sight of the reality that we are dependent spiritually upon our mothers. You know, and everyone knows that if you take the fetus away from the mother, you take the developing baby away from its nutrients, that baby cannot survive. That baby will not be able to grow and develop and survive. But what we unfortunately don't appreciate sometimes is that if we take away the spiritual benefits that we get from our mothers, we also won't be able to thrive. And potentially could die a spiritual death just as a physical death could occur if we were disconnected from our mothers. So this is a reality that all of us have to appreciate. And that's the first point that I want to make today. The barakat that a person can obtain from a positive interaction with their mother is absolutely essential to spiritual development. We cannot develop spiritually. It's like saying that the baby can develop without taking the nutrients from the mother. That's not possible. In the same way, if a person truly wants to develop spiritually, but they want to abuse their mother or slight their mother or disrespect their mother or not appropriately give the mother their due rights, it's not possible. It's not possible to spiritually develop in that way. And, you know, in this day and age, we've become somewhat, so I point this out because in this day and age, we get to a point where we're the furthest in need of that physical nourishment. We are the furthest in need from our mothers. And at that point, our deen reminds us that we are absolutely dependent upon our mothers. And this is something that none of us in this room should ever forget. You know, it doesn't matter who the mother is. Look, if I told you, if somebody says to me, well, wait a minute, you know, you don't understand my mother. You don't understand how difficult my mother is. You don't understand, you know, how my mother speaks. I mean, it'd be ludicrous. It's an absolutely ridiculous argument, because let's say it the other way. Do you think that it matters what your mother, well, why wasn't it an issue when you were in your mother's womb? Was it an issue in your mother's room that your mother was A, B, or C, or acted in such a manner, and therefore you were free from her dependency? No. We are all absolutely dependent spiritually upon the blessings of our mothers. No one in this room can escape it, and no circumstance can even let it be escapable. Meaning, there's no excuse. We can't say, my mother is A, or my mother is B, or you don't know how my mother treats me, or you didn't see how my mother was with me. It doesn't matter. There is no argument. Now, does that mean that we disobey our mothers in the obedience of Allah? No. I mean, we obey our parents in the disobedience of Allah? No. Of course, there are paradigms in which we exist. But what I'm trying to impress is that the kindness that's necessary to exhibit towards one's mother, the respect that's necessary to exhibit towards one's mother, the attitude that one should have in their heart towards their mother should be one of the same dependence from which they came, the same physical dependence from which they came. It doesn't take much to just think back and ask, where was I? And then on top of that, we're not even talking about all of the other things that happened. I'm just talking about the fact that we exhibited as parasites in the womb of our mothers for months on end, sucking nutrients and growing and developing. We are absolutely dependent on that, and the deen does not allow us to escape that. And anyone who thinks that it's convenient to escape from that reality only cuts themselves off from one of the most powerful forms of nourishment in Islam. Every person who's serious about developing themselves spiritually has to ask this very simple question of themselves. How do I treat my mother? What is my attitude towards my mother? Where is my heart in regards to my mother? And then they'll be able to appreciate and understand a very powerful means of spiritual development. How many of people want to sit and call me and say, oh, I want to do this dhikr, or I want to come to this gathering, or I want to become a student of spiritual development, but they don't want to address the very fundamental underlying benefits that can arise from this interaction? You can't replace it. It's not replaceable. It's essential. We are a people who always remember where we came from. We always appreciate the people who have sacrificed and struggled for us to get to where we are. And that attitude and that understanding, it is embodied as a paradigm by our interactions with our mothers. We know that we would be absolutely not able to survive without that interaction that we had with our mothers, and therefore we are always dependent spiritually upon that interaction. Always. We never look down at our mothers, scoff at our mothers, insult them, assume things of them, etc. And that is a essential spiritual lesson. You know, in this day and age, I find it very ironic that people want to talk about wellness. And we do this in the hospital all the time. And what happens, and I'm not saying that this isn't an avenue of wellness, what happens, we have these seminars, and they bring in an expert, and the expert will address some really easy way of becoming well. Some really easy way of becoming well. They'll tell me, for example, that part of wellness is for you to stand up every hour and stretch and take a deep breath. Like, this is a part of wellness, and it's an accepted part of wellness, and I have no qualms with it. It's a beneficial thing, and I would recommend others to do it as well. It helps to reset. But no one wants to talk about, in those same gatherings, no one wants to talk about the very, very hard parts of becoming well. The hard parts of becoming well are to sacrifice and to accept certain circumstances. It's easy to say, and I'm not saying that it's easy to do, but it's easy to say, get up and stretch and take a deep breath. It's hard to say, look deep inside of yourself. Look deep inside of yourself and ask, do you love creation? Do you love one another? Do you have respect for one another? Do you appreciate the sacrifices? Do you appreciate the circumstances from which we came? Do you appreciate your mother, your mother, your mother, your father, for all that they've done? And the dean teaches us this. It's the hardest thing in the world, but the dean teaches us this, that when your parents become older and they're in a circumstance that they may not be, you know, necessarily, quote-unquote, on the top of their game, then show them kindness. Remember, what dua are we taught to make? Remember, you know, oh my Lord, bless them the way that they took care of me. This is a common theme which exists in our deen. Now, why is this so important? Well, one, because we're absolutely dependent on it spiritually. We cannot escape it. Anybody who's looking for that degree of spiritual attainment has to know that it comes through those types of understandings. But then, when a person gains this, it unlocks for them a paradigm of appreciating the entire world. Because then what they do is they appreciate that, wait a minute, it's not just my mother I'm dependent on. I am dependent upon so many other people and circumstances for me to be who I am today. I'm dependent on every single teacher that I had. When I was in grade, kindergarten, 1, 2, 3, 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, every grade that I went through, I was physically dependent upon my teachers because they took the time to educate me, and they sacrificed. They dealt with 30 screaming kids in a room, and I was physically dependent on them. And even after I leave their classroom, and I quote-unquote graduate from the lessons that I learned from them, I am still forever dependent upon every lesson that I learned. Because spiritually, a physical engagement binds me to a continuous gratitude for what they did. So the Muslim recognizes that every single engagement physically benefits me, but spiritually puts me into a debt. Teacher to teacher, teacher to teacher, worker to worker, circumstance to circumstance. We're absolutely dependent upon every single thing that occurred that allows us to be who we are. Just as a simple example, you know, we drove here to the masjid today. Well, who do you think made the roads? We're dependent on those people. There are people that came here early in the morning, worked late at night, day in, day out, through the hot and through the cold, and eventually created these roads that allow us to be able to benefit. Now, what are we, some kings? That we just traverse the roads as if we own them and not appreciate that we are standing upon the efforts of others? Or do we humbly traverse those roads, recognizing that there are people that sacrificed before us, and having gratitude in our heart for the sacrifices that they made? This is what it means, by the way, when we say that the person who, or we learn or we're taught that the person who doesn't thank people has not thanked Allah. That's hadith. Everyone knows it. The person who does not thank people has not thanked Allah. But how can a person be thankful to people? Only when they begin to recognize that there's a dependency. That I have a dependency upon those around me and those before me. And each of those dependencies binds me into a circumstance of gratitude. Now the greatest of that is the mother. Because we lived like parasites in the womb of the mother for months on end. But once a person appreciates and learns that, it applies to every single engagement that a person has. And it's that understanding that creates a deep love for all of humanity in the heart of every person and creates a deep desire to exhibit gratitude and mercy towards every single person around us. And that is the state that Islam tries to create within us. But it doesn't exist when a person is proud or is ignorant. You know, like there's this arrogance. Like, I don't need to think. When it comes to me, everybody needs to know what I did. Hey, everybody, look at what I just did at work. Hey, everybody, look at what I just brought when we walk in the door at home. Hey, everybody, look at what I just did when we clean up something and we want everyone to be able to appreciate what we did. But we don't take that beyond ourselves because we get drowned in the nafs, in the ego, in ourselves. I, me, me. And from the beginning, there was no I or me. From the beginning, in the womb, there was no I or me. There was just an absolute dependency. An absolute dependency. So we take lessons. You know, we don't forget. It's interesting when you look at the Quran, it reminds us over and over again of our circumstances. And by the way, the Quran also talks about the different stages that we went through embryologically in order to become who we are. And when you look at the tafasir of those particular circumstances, you know, it describes in some rough way some of the embryologic stages that a person goes through. And when you look at those, when you look at the tafasir of those discussions in the Quran, what we learn is, yes, the Quran is interestingly describing the state of the fetus as it develops. But more so, what's the spiritual lesson that you take from that? Because the Quran is not a book of science. It's not there to teach us what the science was of a particular circumstance. It's there to awaken us to a reality. The Quran is not trying to teach us what's the science of the solar system. It's trying to teach us, look at the amazing solar system. So when the Quran is describing these states that a fetus goes through, what it's really, or one of the messages that's being delivered to us is not, hey, this is interesting. Let's look, I was this, and then I was this, and I was this. It's rather a spiritual understanding, which basically says, wait a minute, I was this and this and this, I was nothing. And when I was nothing, I was dependent upon my mother as nothing. And now when I'm born and I think I'm something and my ideas are so grand and I have become so big and independent, where am I now? The pride that arises from those circumstances makes me completely forget of the dependency of my mother that I had on my mother. But the deen never lets us forget those dependencies. We can never forget the sacrifices of our mothers. We can never forget the dependency of our mothers. Why? Because one, any reasonable, rational person would understand it. And number two, the deen embeds it within our way of life. Everyone knows that Jannah is under the feet of their mother, which basically means what? The easiest place to find success is in the pleasure of the mother. And that's also what's very, very interesting as well, that from the other angle, because the mother was so willing to give all this nourishment and nutrition and growth to the baby, it's essentially a piece of her. Which mother wouldn't want Jannah for her child? And all a child has to do is somehow convince the mother who's already convinced biologically to make dua for it, and then all of a sudden they're able to earn this amazing treasure in such an easy way. Just one more, by the way, it's just one more excuse by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward and benefit his servants. So this is something that we have to learn and appreciate. And by the way, it becomes a foundational lesson, not only in this one direct engagement, but then it spans far and wide into every interaction that we have, the teachers that we have, the mentors that we have, the others that benefit us and all the things that we're able to achieve. One by one, it envelops the person who has any sense, and they begin to recognize that they're absolutely spiritually dependent upon all of that. Now, what's the ultimate funnel of all that? Where does that all funnel into? All of that funnels into Allah. Because in the end, if we're dependent upon all these things, but all these things are dependent upon another layer of all these things, and all these things are also dependent upon another layer of all these things, then the question is, where does that dependency eventually funnel to? And it eventually funnels to the fact that everything is dependent upon Allah. So what happens? This complex cosmos in which we live gets funneled through dependency into layer upon layer, layer upon layer. And you see this funnel because it's slowly drawing into one source until eventually all of creation is captured in La ilaha illallah. SubhanAllah, a person who can spiritually understand this reality, which really honestly is the end point of dhikr. When a person can spiritually see the reality that exists around them, I'm not talking about this deception, Netflix and this show and that, and this video and that. That's not reality. Those are just layers upon layers of, I don't even know what. I'm talking about the ultimate realities, where a person begins to see the truth. You know, who is my mother? How dependent I am upon everyone around me. Until eventually it funnels, until a person reaches this fact that everything is dependent upon Allah. And so therefore, I too am dependent upon Allah. La ilaha illallah. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the physical and spiritual dependencies from which we arise. And may Him plant within our hearts the realities that we're able to achieve by merely attaining the dua of our mothers. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.